Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Tinnitus Blues. My name is Steve Littman, joined as always by Dan Volpone, Emily Cannell. I begin by asking you, Emily, what is your favorite sports movie?
Remember the Titans.
Really?
Yeah.
Great. And Dan, what about you?
Oh, let me think. I'm just not a movie
you've
guy.
I've seen precious few movies.
But... I've seen some sports movies. I mean, I might have to go Caddyshack.
Oh, really?
It's a great one.
I love, nobody asked. I love a Bull Durham.
Huh?
Bull Durham, great romance in it. Great.
Yeah. I've been to the Durham Bulls baseball game before.
Have you?
I have.
Major League, obviously great. He Got Game, great. All good stuff. Love and Basketball, great. All good stuff. We're all happy to be here. You know, we're in the off season here, and the off season hasn't really started because the finals are still going on. Not a ton to talk about, but we're gonna really drain this for all we can. Few reports about some potential Sixers people. My dog is eating her feet and whining about it because it hurts, but she's choosing to do it. Couple rumors. One came a little bit after Quinn Snyder stepped down last week from the Utah Jazz. Woj reported that in the aftermath of Quinn Snyder's departure as Utah Jazz coach, All-Star guard Donovan Mitchell is described as unsettled, unnerved, and wondering what it means for the franchise's future. Apparently, they're very close, Mitchell and Quinn Snyder. This feels like the report before the report that he's asking for a trade. They seem pretty dead set on not trading him. I know that Dwayne Wade is part of their ownership group and is very close with Mitchell. But Mitchell seems pretty disillusioned with what's going on over there. I've seen people saying online that, like, you can't really do much of anything by just trading one of them, and they should just trade both of them, being like Mitchell and Gobert. But they seem pretty dead set on keeping Mitchell and trading Gobert, that they have actually been taking calls and making calls about Gobert, and they want to keep Mitchell. But Mitchell might force their hand here and just say, I actually want to get out of here. So I ask you, what is your appetite for Donovan Mitchell on the open market? Obviously, there's no conversation to be had unless you put Maxi on the table. So that's the only question here is Mitchell a guy that gets you to answer the phone with Tyrese Maxey here? What do you think in the way, just about maybe some overall thoughts about Donovan Mitchell and would you have this sort of conversation, Dan?
He's the level of play. I mean, he's been an all-star the last, three seasons? And the Jazz this was a very bad year for them, and last year's playoffs were very bad, but he's been asked to carry a lot of scoring load, and he's been like the best or second best player on, you know, a team that's been the one seed in the West within the last two seasons. So he's absolutely the kind of player who I would be looking to acquire. I mean, he's not, you know, an impressive defensive player by any means, and the effort was really bad last year. So, you know, you have the worry with him and Harden in the backcourt that, you know, defensively that could be pretty ugly. But I think that's so good offensively that you, especially if Harden is going to be healthy, that's such a good backcourt offensively that you have to, you know, say, all right, if it looks like, you know, having to give Maxi and salary, whether that's, you know, giving Tobias or getting off Tobias to a third team in some way, you know, now you have an open 3 and 4 with Harden and Mitchell at the 1 and 2, and you can get, you know, go after a PJ Tucker, go after, you know, someone who, you know, fits the mold of, is going to play really hard, can defend, can like score a little bit. I mean, I realize that that is a difficult player to find, but the teams that are doing better than us keep finding them at the fringes. And Daryl in the past has found players like that at the fringes. So, you know, they're going to have to, you know, whether that's a young guy and force Doc's hand to give him a shot, I don't know. But yes, I think that you figure out, you know, defensively the 3 and the 4, you still have Embiid back there. Get some, like, you know, long rangy guys who can switch on to everyone and, you know, use that to your advantage. Because, you know, when Mitchell and Harden are healthy, when Mitchell and Harden are trying, they're not like Trae Young. They're not good, but they're not like horrible. And I just think if you're confident in Harden's health, then you have to try to go get Mitchell. It's not like we're talking about, you know, Maxi as being a good defender either. He's not. He tries, but he's not. And he's not like a particularly like smart defender, which is what this team really needs. Maybe will be one day, but he's young right now. So, and I just think that if you can do that, you have to do it, because, you know, like, I think depth is important, but the Sixers already don't have it. Like, they can't get less. So yeah, like give the guys you have to give. And if you really think, you know, Harden is going to be healthier next year and give you more, then that's like a very legit big three. And you're putting yourself in a great position to win if you can, you know, figure out the other positions on the floor. And at that point, you know what you need, right? Because, you know, Shake will get some minutes off the bench, but, like, you know, really you're looking at, you know, Harden and Mitchell getting like a ton of minutes and then a bunch of figure it out guys that are all like forwards. And so that's a long way of saying, like, yeah, I mean, there's similar worries to Mitchell besides the age and injury stuff as you could have to Harden, but he's really, really good and has been really, really good for years. And I would go after him. I don't know. I love Maxi. It would suck to give him up, but I don't think this team is in a position where they have the luxury of like being sentimental about their most valuable trade piece. And I'm not saying I'm looking to give him away. There's, you know, I mean, Mitchell might be on the lower end of players I would give him for. Like, I don't say that lightly, where it's like I would give Maxi, but I would probably give Maxi for Mitchell, because I think Mitchell is really, really good. And I think that Maxi could be, you know, a guy who makes one or two all-star teams and still would not be as good as Mitchell is now at his peak. And it's just not a knock on him, but like Mitchell is really, really, really good.
Emily, what do you think?
Okay, now I'm not needed. I just wouldn't do it. I'm not giving Maxi up for anything except like something crazy. And Donovan Mitchell is not crazy. He lost to fucking Ben Simmons for Rookie of the Year. Like, he's nothing. I don't really care. He's good, fine. But like, I'm not giving Maxi up. I'm not giving 21-year-old Maxi up for Donovan Mitchell. I'm just not doing it. Sorry.
Mitchell's only 25.
I don't care. James Harden's only 32 and he can't keep his hamstring together. So
that seems like a different thing, but all right.
So Mitchell has done some losery things certainly. The trying to disqualify Ben Simmons by reporting him to the guidance counselor during their rookie year by saying he actually is not a rookie. Tacitly admitting that he's better than me, sure, but he should not be a rookie if you read the fine print here. Very loser energy thing of him to do and run a whole campaign about, look at this loophole I found. He shouldn't even be allowed. Sure, he's better than me. Loser move by him and was it Adidas, whoever his
it was Adidas,
his company was. And then of course our favorite thing for years has been when he said, in my opinion, we won that game after they lost that game.
I can't have that energy tremendous on my team. Just I cannot wonderful do it.
You know, he's good. He sucks at defense and he's little on that end. So he's like, I think he's 6'3". But he's certainly good. And one of the ways that people look at these trades is like, are we kind of hoping that Maxey becomes a player as good as Mitchell in some way? Like, are we kind of hoping that his high-end outcome is like a sort of annual all-star or fringe all-star guard? And yeah, maybe. But Maxey is cheap and, you know, Mitchell is under control through, I just looked it up, 24-25, and then he has a player option after that. He's on his max contract here. Like, I think you have a conversation here. I get Dan's point where it's like, we're trying to win a championship tomorrow, you know, like right now. And it's really just like, if you think that Maxey can be an all-star next year, how much better is Mitchell than Maxey next year? Because if you're really paying a premium and you're paying him so much more than you're paying Maxey next year, because what are you paying Maxey, like $8 million or something? Probably less than that as the 21st pick. Then why are you actually making that trade if you have Maxey in-house, if you believe that he could reasonably be an all-star? The fit, like if you look at Bradley Beal, who we're going to talk about, Bradley Beal catches and shoots a ton, whereas Mitchell has the ball in his hands a lot. So you have to figure some of that out. Now, Maxey's also a guy who probably more ideally has the ball in his hands a little bit more, although his shooting numbers were excellent this year. So I guess I lean a little bit more towards not doing it if you have to do Maxey than doing it. But I'd sort of rather not do the Bradley Beal thing just because he just had a shitty year shooting the ball and he's closer to 30. And like, I just kind of don't believe in him as much. But I guess be given how young Mitchell is, I would think about it a little bit harder than some of the other guys. But yeah, the Bradley Beal thing is that he has leaked to the media that he wants to play for a winner, which he has done so much, and he has absolutely never requested a trade. And I have every confidence that he's just about to sign for the Supermax in Washington. And maybe he'll, in a year or two, request a trade then, but he's gonna sign like the biggest contract that a player has ever signed in Washington. And then
why does Washington want that? I don't understand.
No clue.
He's led them to nothing, and he's like, like the 22nd best player in the league. Like, what is the desire? What is the desire to sign him to this super long? And I know I think that, you know, he's probably, I like a lot of what he brings, but like, I don't think that, you know, I don't think I'd put him at like 25. I think he's better than that, but I also probably wouldn't put him inside of like any higher than like 18 either. So it's like, you know, he's just like old and like great, but not like elite or like even close. And so it's very bizarre to me. And it's not like he's like, it's not like he's a guy, like the team used to be good and there's like a lot of sentimental like, oh, well, we won with this guy when he was young, let's just keep him around. Like, I don't understand. Like
they had that one run with him and Wall, you know, where they played the Celtics and they did the funeral outfits. And then they lost.
Yeah, like,
but so I agree. Much losing there. I agree. Well, I thought the same thing about Portland. Like, there's no ceiling here. Like, you need to, at some point, just admit when it's not going to happen anymore and move on. Obviously, you know, Dame has brought them to greater heights. That there's more sentimentality, I think, swept up in Dame and the culture and all that.
He's better.
He's better, and the but they've gone to the better. Conference finals more, you know, like all of that kind of stuff. But, yeah, Beal, I don't see it. I think there's no way he's either walking or asking for a sign and trade or doing any of that. But, yeah. So Emily, do you think that he's, do you see any hope here in him saying that he wants to play for a winner here?
No, I mean, I think he's just going to stay in Washington. Maybe he's like trying to get them to bring someone in. Like, he wants them to win, but I just think like they're going to offer him $1 zillion. Like, who's going to say no to $1 zillion?
It's
not me.
Yeah. There was a report this week out of Denver that the Nuggets are open to trading Will Barton and Monty Morris. Will Barton seems to have gotten the most sort of conversation out of Sixers fans, sort of as a six-man type or a Danny replacement. The money would work in like a sort of using Danny's $10 million contract and Matisse or 23 or Furkan, you know, there are different permutations of how the Sixers could get this done. I don't know if I'm like missing the boat on this, but like, I don't really see it with Will, but I don't think he can really guard anyone. And he seems a little ISO heavy to me. Not that the Sixers can't use a guy like that, but like, I think we need something more of what Danny is, which is like straight up 3-and-D catch and shoot, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope type of guy than what Will Barton is, which I don't think you can really rely on night to night, which I think Denver has found out now, which is why they're trying to trade him. Like, I wouldn't trade Matisse for him. Like, Matisse I'm like super low on at this point. And we'll talk about hustle, but I'm more than happy to trade Matisse this summer, and I'm looking for trades for him. But I think you can do better in a Matisse trade than trading him for Will Barton, who I just don't believe in really. As like, if you're penciling him in as your fifth starter wing guy, like I want something different, I guess, as an archetype. You know, like, Emily, do you have Will Barton thoughts, or if you have anything on Monty Morris? I don't know.
I'm not like as down on Will Barton as you. Like, I would trade Matisse for him, just because what I honestly think this team needs is just more offense. Like, I would maybe have him as like a six man, like you said, like off the bench offense. Like, he scores like what, he's averaged like 14 some points a game this season. Like, no one on our bench is averaging that right now. Like, just like some more points would be great. So that the starters don't have to carry the offensive load all the time. Especially if Matisse isn't going to get like his, I mean, there's no way to know, but get his mojo back on defense, because the last time we saw him, he was god awful. Yep. So, I mean, based on our last viewing of him, yeah, I would trade him. What he does over the summer, or what he looks like at the beginning of the next season, like, obviously I don't know. But based on historical data, I would trade Matisse. Not as much Danny. I like Danny Green. But he's also old and coming off a terrible injury. So
yeah, I mean, I don't know. Has there been any update? Like, we're not seeing him till like after the All-Star break at the earliest.
Oh, at least. Yeah, I mean, he's like 38 and it's an ACL. So I think you're thinking like a calendar year kind of thing. Like, I think you can not count on him. Really, I think it's 34. Like his salary.
Yeah, he's not 38, but I think he's 35. He's old enough. Yeah.
Fair enough. I think that the Sixers' decision is basically to guarantee his contract, to use it in a trade, maybe a draft night trade, or to waive him to get that number off the books. Yeah, Dan, where are you at on that?
I'm probably a bit closer to Emily. Like, I agree with Emily in, you know, where she finds value with Barton. But I mean, I don't think that he's like, he's not a guy where you look at, you know, this past season and say, well, if we plug in Barton for Matisse, we're looking great. Right. So like, I think that it is like, it can't be your move. Like, it can't be like, I've seen this thrown around. It can't be like the, okay, like if we're going to turn Danny's contract into, you know, something of an asset and we're going to give up our 23rd pick. And, you know, we've seen teams find value and fill out their roster with, you know, late first round picks. And I mean, the Celtics have done it and we did it with Maxey. And say, you know, we're giving Matisse too, who like some team probably values. I don't think I could do all that. I think it's too many chips when you already don't have a lot. And this is just something that can't be your move. But I mean, yeah, I think I would probably give Matisse. I don't think Matisse's value is particularly high. And I don't think his value on the court to the Sixers is very high at all. And so like, when I say like some team probably values him, like that's kind of saying like, yeah, maybe like the Nuggets would value him with Yogi Barton. Like, I really don't think any team out there is like dying to give Matisse like $15 million a year when his contract's up. Right. I don't think that he's looked at that way around the league. And I mean, all that matters is that there's, you know, one GM who looks at him that way around the league. And I don't think there is. Like, I don't think that's something you could even talk yourself into at this point. I mean, he was a 4-year college player, so he's not even that young. He hasn't really gotten better at all. And his defense is like exploitable at, you know, in the playoffs when, you know, watching him just purposely get behind guys and have them know exactly what he wants to do when he's behind them. Like, he can't be our number one defender. We need someone bigger. Like, I think he's just like, he's the kind of guy you can give up, assuming that there's like, you know, and there has to be like a lot of change going on. And if there's a lot of change going on and this is not the move, I'd be happy to have Martin.
All right. There's a new movie out, which doesn't feature me, which we've talked about. I'm not going to go into, but Dan didn't see it. Dan swore off films for Lent.
I only watch Steve's movies.
Exactly.
Superbad. That's it.
Which you have a lot of free time because there aren't many. But it's an Adam Sandler movie wherein he plays a scout who discovers a hidden gem prospect played by Juancho Hernan Gomez. Sandler works for the Sixers. There's tons of Sixers content that is shot largely in Philadelphia. A handful of Sixers were in it. Emily, you've seen this?
I have. I watched it the day it came out.
All right. So we've got to talk about it. I want to know your overall thoughts on it and some of your favorite sort of Sixers takeaways from it, and give me, you know, some overall thoughts.
I really enjoyed it. I don't know if it's because I'm a sucker for things that pander to my general interests, the Sixers being one of them, but even though they kind of made the Sixers look like dickheads most of the time, I was like, this clocks. But I really enjoyed the movie. I thought it was fun that they shot most of it in Philadelphia. I had three like large nitpicks with it of their Philadelphia-ness, but other than that, I thought it was good. There was a lot of good, like,
I need to hear these, by the way.
Mm-hmm. What, my nitpicks?
You can't just say, I need to hear your three.
Okay, the one was when they mentioned that they were going to consider putting Embiid into a trade because that just would never, absolutely never happen.
Make the owners look bad, which I appreciate.
That was the point. I think they just wanted to name drop Embiid, and I was like, well, that's just not going to happen.
Fair.
The other one was when Adam Sandler's character got out of his car at the Wells Fargo Center and then walked into the Wells Fargo Center and was in the training complex in Camden right away. Like, that's where the Sixers offices were. That's not where they are at all. And then my other one was when the owner, that spoiler alert, dies early in the movie, said when Temple played St. Joe. And I was like, no one would say St. Joe. It's St. Joe's. And I just thought that someone from Philly, like the director, is the guy who did all the South Street murals, like the Magic Gardens, all those murals, that's his kid. And I thought that someone from Philly would have caught that no one would say St. Joe, but no one did.
So The Ben Foster in the movie plays
that's who you could have played, Steve. You could have been Ben Foster's character.
You think I could have been that guy?
Well, you play assholes well, so yes.
I play assholes well, but he's out of my age range. And you know,
Steve is the most hateable character in every movie he's in.
Yeah.
So, but of course, I can't stop thinking about me when I'm watching the movie. And the when they're sitting at the table, there's a table in the beginning of the movie when Robert Duvall's still alive. And
is that who that talking, was? That's hilarious.
Yeah, who said St. Joe. Yeah. And they're talking about drafting Haas, who Mo Wagner plays this prospect who the Sixers end up drafting, who's a piece of shit. They hate him. The whole thing about Mo Wagner's character is that he sucks and everybody hates him. So I don't know why he did the movie. Ben Foster is saying, I love him. And Sandler's like, he sucks. We shouldn't do this. But there are people around the table, including Billy King, who's a part of the front office, and Urkel is there. And there's also a youngish white guy who's there. And I go, there we go.
That was
I could be him. And he throws in like one line and he looks maybe Jewish. Thank you. There we go.
Missed out.
So what else is there? I love Sandler. I always love Sandler and just a very solid Sandler performance. Federal Donuts shirt. Pats, I could do without, you know, just like sort of
a really good Ish Kabibbles reference.
Ish Kabibbles reference that I appreciate. So then we have Tobias plays Wancho one-on-one. Should say, need Wancho on the Sixers. I mean, he was great in the movie. He was like, he very believable and charming and makes a ton of shots. Seems great. So I would, fast.
Can run up a hill like nobody's business.
He was playing basketball in construction boots. No, I would sign him tomorrow. He seemed great. And there's Brian Colangelo vibes big time with Ben Foster's character. Big collars and a wormy sort of loser who makes bad decisions. Maxie's in it. Seth Curry's in it, who was on the team at the time. Doc Rivers is in it. And they wear suits to the game, which they never do. So I don't know why they had them dressed in suits. At this, Dave Yeager's in it.
Dr. J is in it. He is great.
Oh, Kenny Smith plays an agent.
Oh, yeah.
He was good.
Leon.
Anthony Edwards knocks it out of the park. Absolutely wonderful.
That's not surprising. I feel like he's good.
No.
He's incredibly charming.
So charming. And he's like a villain in it, but you just love him because he says everything with a smirk.
Do you guys follow his dog on Twitter?
I do not.
Oh. He tweets as his dog about himself, Anthony Edwards Jr. His dog's name is Anthony Edwards Jr.
That's so funny.
So funny.
Speaking of dogs that have social media, Paul Reed's dog has social media, and mazel tov to Paul Reed, who graduated from DePaul. Yes. Congrats.
Friend of the podcast, Paul Reed.
Friend of the pod, Paul Reed. Do we have anything else before we move off the hustle? Recommend it, watch it. It's got, you know, it's got what you need.
Oh, but speaking of our Matisse, like being low on Matisse, there's this like very pivotal, like Ben Foster, real dickhead scene. And Matisse is on Ben Foster's side and it's kind of just like badgering Adam Sandler's character. I was like, this is not a good look, my guy.
Well, they're going to dinner, right? Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, that one.
They're going to dinner and Matisse leaves like a snide comment. It's like, I guess he's not coming to dinner now. It's like, hey, asshole. Kyle Lowry is there and
a lot of really fun cameos in the movie. It's just like fun to watch it and be like, why is Chris Middleton in the stands? Like, what's happening here?
Weirdest cameo of the movie is that they really hype up the NBA draft combine, which in real life nobody cares about, but Chris Middleton is in the stands
at like the draft scouting combine, and I thought he was Wancho. Like gonna play a scout, like, and then they call him Chris and I was like, guess he's playing himself.
Chris Middleton goes, wow, he's really fast. It's like, okay, thanks, Chris. You're good. You're wrapped for the day. It's like, okay, cool.
I recommend it. I think it's fun.
It is fun. Maybe they'll call me for the sequel. All right. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, talk about the Al Horford family and the finals and all that stuff. Here's a break.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it hits the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
We're back. Al Horford's family did some sort of roundtable horse shit. I don't know why, but Al is having like a fine series and they're like, let's interview all of his family to talk about how wonderful Al is.
Who has to live in the same city as him.
Yes. And they just, they're a traveling circus. And the sister, Anna, has a horrible Twitter account. Where she actually has a deal where she must tweet every 30 minutes. So they're interviewing them about what life is like, I guess, and what it's been like. So this is what Maria said. Maria is, who knows? She said, we stayed Celtics fans when he was in Philly and when he was in OKC. We couldn't let go. They showed us so much love, they being Boston, and that wasn't something we were ready to let go of, so we just never did, and we're back. Anna said, Philly fans hated us there. They hated us for it. Josh, his brother, we continue to root for Boston because they're not dickheads. Okay. Where else do we have something?
Well, there was the whole thing about how Al was homesick that year.
I was homesick. Yes. I believe, yeah, Anna said, we fully manifested his return to Boston. We all wanted it so badly. He was always homesick for Boston when he was in Philly. And, you know, nobody made him sign in Philadelphia.
Can I also say something? Al Horford is not from Boston and only played 3 seasons in Boston. So I'm not sure how that's home anyway.
I don't know. But it's just tremendous, and then I don't know. Listen, he was not good here,
how can he be good while he was homesick?
That's true. She was openly on Twitter at the time saying that that they're still rooting for the Celtics. So. It was just weird vibes the whole time. It was sort of doomed from the start. It was such a weird signing when we already had so many bigs. But I certainly don't think they did themselves any favors. Al seemed miserable. Joel hated it the whole time. It was pretty clear. But I don't feel like we mistreated, like we the fans or we the Sixers mistreated Al. They paid him way above market value to like have him here for a shitty year and then ship him off. So I don't know. Emily, do you have any thoughts on this?
No, I just think they're kind of like delusional. Yeah. And I just they can, and they're, I don't get it. I don't get why a 36-year-old man needs to live in the same city as all his siblings. I think that's kind of weird.
What do they do?
It sure is.
I think it's really weird that Anna is verified on Twitter. Like, for what?
The real Anna.
Just like for all for of those
the
people. Sibling
that... of the least exciting NBA All-Star ever. Less exciting than Rudy Gobert.
So they can just, you know, I'm glad they're involved.
The real Teresa Pachulia. It's like, who cares?
they're just like, whatever. Like, I'm not going to get mad about it because it was like long gone. I'm over them. But like, what a bizarre situation they have where it's like, they just have to be in the same place. First of all, he says nothing all the time. And they're constantly saying something, like, kind of to his detriment while he was here. Whereas, like, they didn't do a good job of, like, endearing him to the fans here to make his life easier. Like, it was just, the whole thing was so bizarre.
No, but I think he's liked some sassy tweets.
Yeah,
though.
He has.
Yeah, so I think he's way more of an asshole than he publicly says. Like,
but he at least
I just
knows
think that he has this
to, like,
public persona for when he's going
to
run for Senate someday. But he definitely... is a fucking asshole for sure.
Yeah.
Did you guys see how like NBC 10 just sent out like this petty ass tweet? I was like, did someone think they were tweeting from their personal account? But it's still up, so they are just riding with
it's
it.
It's so funny. Hurricane Schwartz is just hilarious. Like, you know what? Fuck these people. It's Glenn Hurricane.
I'm retiring
Schwartz
now.
Like,
it's fine.
I've had enough. I've had it up to here with these Horford twins. I don't care. People are like, you know what, Glenn? Go off, King. I don't care.
Sorry we couldn't root for your brother while he averaged 12 points per game, put up the worst field goal percentage of his career, and cost the team $28 million, all while clapping like a maniac.
He did clap a lot.
Home NBC 10 Philadelphia.
Every missed layup, and there were a lot, he would clap. It was crazy.
Great.
But it's honestly annoying to, like, watch him do, like, kind of all he needed to do here. Like, if he were playing like this, he would have been fine with Embiid. Like...
Yes, but Boston
having
doesn't
six
have
for
Tobias
eight from three games.
Too, you know.
No, sure. Yeah. But no, I mean you're right. I mean, but they were their own problem too.
Totally.
But, like, Horford didn't help. Horford.
No.
Horford.
He wasn't good.
But regardless of the play, like, Horford's time here, he was like creeping in from the 3-point line, like not ready to catch and shoot for threes. He was not like. Doing a good job defending opposing fours in a way that he has this year. And at the time it was like, it wasn't just like he's done because he was old. It was like, he had like the arthritis in his knee or something. And it was like, okay, like maybe he's hurt. Like maybe this is it. But to see him find this extra gear now that he's like, I don't know. Like it's all a bit silly to me that a 33-year-old is homesick from a city he only lived in for 3 years and is not from. It's just a little bit silly, I think. I don't know.
He tanked it. He took the contract and he was like, I'm gonna find a way back. Well, it worked. All right. Finals. The great game the other night. Golden State. Steph Curry is unbelievable. They have tied up the series 2-2. Would love to see the Warriors go ahead and win this series and send all the Horfords home packing. It was great. You know, we can talk about that. I also want to talk about, Drew put it in the doc here. I had forgotten about it, but Draymond Green, who has been struggling this series, but is absolutely dead set on podcasting, whether you like it or not, which is just... I don't listen. He can do whatever he wants, but I guess I just think the clips of him being like, "You're gonna get this podcast." It's like, it's a podcast. Like, take it easy. Like, just do the podcast. You don't have to like tell me how hard you're gonna podcast all the time. It's like, this isn't cool. Like,
I missed 4 weeks because the Sixers made me mad this year. Like, I don't know. I don't feel the need to like shove this down anyone's throat. Like, if I have nothing to give, like, I'm good. Like, you guys got it.
I think all the new media stuff is awesome. And like, all of that stuff is great and a boon for all of us. But like, I don't know. It is a little strange when he like goes out there and lays an egg. And then the next thing you see is him being like, Blue Chew, you know, like, I don't know, like, it is just a little bit funny. It's unprecedented to have like a extremely high profile player to be in the midst of a hotly contested NBA finals to go ahead and provide that kind of insight right after each game. It's like a sort of a social experiment, but yeah, I just think how he's bombastic about everything, but to also be bombastic about, like, you're going to get these MP3 files uploaded to our servicing platform and they're going to edit it together with all of our ads. And
it's such so, a yeah. funny phrasing, because like anyone who doesn't want to listen will just not listen.
Yeah. And he goes, you're going to listen or you're not going to listen. And yeah, I don't know. What do you think of the finals right now, Dan? And, you know, three games out, best of three right now. Golden State gets two of them at home. You know, do you get the impression that Boston is the better team, but that, because I don't know how often Klay seems a little bit up and down. Draymond's been not very good, but Steph is certainly the best player in the series, I think. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think that Boston is like clearly the better team. Now, I'll be happy saying whoever, I don't care if it's seven and goes down to the last shot. I'll be perfectly happy to say whoever wins this series is the best team. But I don't think it's like Boston went to seven in Miami. And, and really like blew a lead at the end and only won by what, four? And
well, and what did it take them to beat the Bucks without Middleton too?
Sure.
It
took them either through all of that, I watched it and was like, this is a team who should be the better team. But I mean, it's for years, it's, I mean, and I don't mean this in like a trash talking way, because they've had way more playoff success than we have. But for years, this has been the kind of team who will look like the better team and just have like an unbelievably bad quarter, which is funny because that was really the Warriors in game one. But like, that's just kind of who they've been. It's who they've been throughout these playoffs, where like they blew that like late lead in game five, just imploded at the end of game five against the Bucks. Like, had some awful quarters against the Heat, where they gave up like 20 point runs, and you know, games where they were turning the ball over in the 20s. Like, so like they were probably more talented, but at a certain point, like, that's part of who you are as a team too, that you just do this, that you like keep these teams in it. And I don't think like, okay, they took the Heat to seven and like late in game seven, and, or the, I should say the Heat took them to seven. The Warriors are a lot better than the Heat. And I think it's going to be, you know, it already is a close series. I would imagine it goes seven. I don't think either team like rips off the next two. But I don't think that there was really like, it was always like, okay, like if Boston loses, I'll be really surprised, even though this series is still close in that Heat series. And the only reason I didn't feel that way in the Bucks series is just because, like, I'm not going to count out Giannis. Mm-hmm. But this series doesn't feel that way. I don't think that they're definitely better. I could make a real case for the Warriors just being a better team, like, regardless of all that other stuff. And so I'm excited. I think it's like, you know, it's been, not all the games have been good, but it's been a close series. And, you know, hopefully the next three are obviously, you know, the most important games you can play as an NBA player. And I'm hoping they'll be close games, because I think the teams are pretty close.
Emily, your thoughts on the finals and where they go from here, and on Draymond, you know, giving us that podcast, whether we like it or not.
In regards to Draymond, I think it's kind of crazy that he does them right away, but also I like it because that's when like the biggest chance of like something weird is going to happen.
Great content. Yeah.
And so I'm really pro weird. And so I would like it to keep coming. In regards to the finals, I generally fall asleep before the end of the game because they are late and I am old, but I would still bet on the Warriors. I just think they're a better team. I think they're more consistent, and I also want them to win more.
Do you guys think at some point these Sixers will be in the finals while we're still doing this podcast? Will we have had a falling out between us.
I don't think we're going to have a falling out. I just don't know if they're ever going to make it.
The podcast doesn't end with a falling out.
No. You want us to have a falling out?
Drew, I think Drew might drive a wedge between us.
Steve, what do I have to say to you to make you mad? You're not that easy to set off.
Not easy to set off. Well,
I don't know. I mean,
if you don't watch one of Steve's movies, that's you're done. Oh,
I watch Steve's.
That's movie. Why. That's why they're so widely watched. Steve, that's how I stay so even keel.
Steve is in 80% of the movies I've seen.
See? Yeah, it's just those ones in Caddyshack. That's what I missed out. Yeah, I don't know. It's really the things that get me angry is when my dog starts eating her feet. That's what gets me really riled up. How's Luna doing? I heard some barking.
She's good. She's right here.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in Philly right now, and I have.
Thanks for telling us.
Were you gonna let us know?
No.
Clearly.
This is how it ends.
I say this is how it ends. I say because Gab is in Africa.
Whoa, right now, that's for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So you're just in Philly for 2 weeks?
No, not for 2 weeks, but for a little bit here, about a
can
week.
Can we get dinner?
Yeah. That'll be nice. When are you guys around? Let's do this on air.
All week. If anyone wants to meet us, everyone else can come if they want.
What if all of our listeners just showed up?
Let us know in the DMs if you'd like to join for dinner so we know a bigger reservation to me.
And my parents' dog is here too, and they are like magnetically attached. They will not stop attacking each other with love. And it stresses me out because they're gnawing at each other. It's too much.
That's how they play. They're probably gonna be so tired. Rainey's gonna be so tired when you take her home.
I know. It's all right, great. Good stuff. We covered it all. Next week we got to do a draft thing because they're gonna have a draft night. They're gonna do something. So let us know in the comments on YouTube. Drew can pipe something in. Where do they go? Where there's like a graphic and you go bing 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 and there's something right here let us know in the comments who you'd like us to talk to within reason and we'll talk to them about the draft.
Guess we should start doing that. We should start having people tell us what guests they want, because I feel like a lot of people are manageable. Like, don't say Joel Embiid. But like, yeah. we could get someone interesting. We've had a lot of interesting guests.
We have. All right. Gastro Blues Pod, Third and Girl, DA Pels 13, Steve J. Lippman, the Gastro Blues Pod, Sixers Podcast. Be safe and be great. Love you all. Oh yeah, baby, I love